from the kitchen. Where else do you think it is? A good evening to you and IUB as we're coming up on 11:05 on a Tuesday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here and you there on the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Paulie Rosenberg. And no from the 1-877-337-6666. It'll be a three-hour Tuesday schmooze right up until Sal Licata. He'll be coming your way at 2 on your fan, New York City. So two six-game streaks come to an end, and lots to talk about, not only with the baseball and the rehabbing that hasn't been very positive, rehabbing with the Mets, and now the situation with Corey Kluber. The Nets, of course, in a blowout, can you say sweep, about to be two more wins and probably two more games, and the Nets will be moving on. And somebody that we know very, very well has been named the NBA's Comeback Player of the Year. And well-deserved, you know who I'm talking about. What is it? And what it is something we'll get to in a moment. But the Jays, with when you take into account the four walks and what was it, the 13 inch, you're talking about 17 base runners in this game. And, I mean, every time you looked up, it was somebody on base or somebody crossing home plate. Although, I mean, the final score, it seemed like it would be a lot more than what the final score was. And, of course, you know, it was 6-2. But losing a game, and listen, that is not, as you know, as important as the possible losing of Corey Kluber. And you got to figure that with the you want to be very, very safe. He walked a couple of guys in the first inning. He only threw 101 pitches last week with the no-hitter, so not a lot of stress with that. He was very efficient, as we all know, in that game. He was working tonight on full rest and, of course, the right shoulder. And he'll have an MRI tomorrow. Good to guess, and that's all it is guessing. And you hope he misses maybe only one start. But you want to be very, very careful with him. He only worked one inning. And the no-hitter notwithstanding, still about at the quarter pole, he is still trying to get himself into game shape. And he certainly is on his way. And but the right shoulder tightening up, and he walked three guys, two in the first inning after striking out the first two guys. And, of course, the two-run home run that he gave up ended that 37 and one-third of scoreless innings from Yankees starters. Just absolutely incredible. And so they lose the game 6-2, the six-game losing streak for the Blue Jays over, and, of course, the six-game winning streak for the Yankees over as well. And as far as this game, where was this with Steven Matz as a Met facing all these right-handed batters? His breaking pitch with, I think, with the cutter, breaking down and in with all these right-handers, and over 6 1/3, he only gave up a run. He allowed just that one run with 10 strikeouts, not a single walk, over 112 pitches, and he's now 6-2 with a lowered ERA of 4.28. Frazier obviously seems to be hitting, heating up and hitting up also. And Hiroshi Akioka, the two RBIs for the Yankees. Voit not coming through when he had a chance to make that inning a little bit bigger for the Yankees. They only got that one run in that, what was it, the sixth, seventh inning, you know from what I'm talking. But the bottom line is that losing Kluber after three innings, the right shoulder, the MRI coming up a little bit later on, and a terrific effort from Steven Matz, and no doubt in front of family and friends, and coming through for the Jays tonight. The Metropolitans won tonight 3-1. We are not worthy. This is what we can say about Tomas Nido. His two-run home run after one of a couple of hits from Dominic Smith. Dominic Smith was on, and how rare do we even see from that? The Mets with the injuries, and I'll get to that in just a second. It's bad news. So a bittersweet evening for the Mets at Citi Field. With Nido's two-run home run making the difference as the Metropolitans with a 3-1 win. Jacob deGrom only went five innings in this game. He got a no decision because the Nido home run came in the sixth inning. And so Castro and the bullpen was just great. Castro, May, and Diaz, four innings of zeros from them, and with a couple of strikeouts. And Diaz, Edwin Diaz, now with eight saves on season. The bad news, and you may know about this already, with Mets rehabbing. First of all, Noah Syndergaard pulled after one inning at Port St. Lucie, leaving with the right elbow soreness. Just terrible news. And on top of that, J.D. Davis, he was scheduled to play in Syracuse tonight. At the moment, he's back in New York, or on his way, or it'll be in tomorrow, a setback with that left hand. And from what we understand, it is still to be determined what further treatment on that left hand is going to be needed. So, yeah, Noah Syndergaard pulled after one inning in a game at Port St. Lucie and with right elbow soreness, and then J.D. Davis with the left hand, and he has been on the IL since May 2nd. We were thinking, as of last Friday, we were hearing he might be in the lineup along with DeGrom getting back into action on Tuesday night, and then again we hear this during the course of the the Yankee game and the Metropolitan game, too. We were looking in on both, of course. Jacob deGrom, he left after five innings tonight. He gave up the McMahon solo home run. But again, what we are getting from Tomas Nido, we are not getting from Francisco Lindor. And the chants and the booing, he may be getting more than Trey Young of the Atlanta Hawks. But he came up, he walked in his first plate appearance in the first inning, and then in the top of the third, after Villar led off that inning with a double, Lindor struck out looking, and he was 0-for-3 with a walk, hitting 185 and hearing it, as he should, from the crowd. He is just not getting it done. Castro, May, and Diaz, as I say, following a DeGrom, but no need to be concerned about DeGrom leaving after five. His pitch count was okay and decent, but you wanted to be careful with him, and I'll tell you why. They probably took him out after five. I haven't heard any post game since we're on after Sweeney's post game, and I didn't hear. I'm sure they took him out. DeGrom laced what looked to be a base hit. It was a base hit, but he wanted to go for two, and he beat the throw in at second base sliding, but the pop-up slide, how ridiculous is this? He was originally called safe. The Rockettes challenged. The call on the field was overturned because, as you could see on instant replay, like a quarter of an inch of his total body on the pop-up slide. It was not on the bag, and so he was tagged out, and it was the right call, but how stupid. I don't like this rule at all, and I'm going to get rid of it. I'll see what I can do with the influence that I have, of course. Even I find that ridiculous to say, but you get my point. And the bottom line is, it just is silly. Beat the throw. And he was hustling. And he was swinging. First of all, we didn't think he might be swinging for precautionary with the side, the left side, the right side. It's a good thing he's only got two sides. We were not concerned about him with his at-bat because, and you're thinking maybe he's not going to swing, but he did swing. And he ends up getting thrown out at second base, although he beat the throw. And the pop-up slide, please, we have to take into account momentum, and he should have had a double, and that's the end of it. But the Mets win the game, but the news, bittersweet evening for the Mets, winning a game, but the news was Syndergaard and J.D. Davis not very good, and it's very good to see the Rockettes doing what they normally do on the road. And that's lose. They came into the series at Citi Field with a 2-17 home record. Came into this game with 3-17 with a road record. Well, with now with the 3-17 with this game tonight, so it's now 3-18. What a team! And I don't think we need to talk about Trevor Story getting familiar with New York. Because of J.D. Davis. Listen to me already. I'm just excited about Randall, about the Knicks tomorrow night. I get all excited. What is it? Plus enough coffee, and that's going to do it. But the Mets win a game. Can you make that up? And Steven Matz for Toronto. No Yankee fan wants to hear good things about Steven Matz, but the Yankee hitters couldn't figure him out. Torres let in run number four. And run number five by making a terrible throw with the bases loaded. And the throw to Higgy wasn't on target. It was offline. And two runs were to come in on that error. And but Trevor Story, there won't be any talk about Trevor Story at this point in time coming to the Yankees by the trading deadline. I mean, the Rockettes want to get rid of him. That's known. And we were talking for when the Yankees were 6-11 about shortstops that are going to be free agents and who might be available more sooner than later. But the bottom line is, if any rumor you want to talk about is Kyle Seager of Seattle, a third baseman who might be coming to the Metropolitans. That's the latest rumor, nothing very substantial, but there might, as we speak right now, already have spoken words between the Mets and Seattle. We're not entirely positive about that, but that rumor is now floating about. And then you hear about J.D. Davis. And again, if they were to pick up a third baseman like a Kyle Seager, he came into the conversation last week on the no-hitter after Corey Kluber. That night, last Wednesday night, when Kluber threw the no-hitter, we were hearing all of the facts and information and trivia with no-hitters. Well, Kyle Seager of Seattle has been involved in 9 no-hitters, either on the team in which the no-hitter was recorded or in which he was on a team in which was no-hit. So Kyle Seager, just a little bit of trivia, nobody cares about it at all, although it might be a topic if Kyle Seager does end up as a New York Metropolitan. But Torres' error certainly did hurt, and Voit's at bat with runners in scoring position to not keep the inning going, making the third out with men on base, that pretty much told you that it wasn't going to be Yankee night. And and it certainly, again, with the Metropolitans, J.D. Davis, the left hand, from Syracuse, heading back to New York or in New York, and will have an MRI. And it's expected that there is going to be, because of this setback with J.D. Davis, more treatment to follow. And then again, Noah Syndergaard, after one inning, leaving his outing in Port St. Lucie and with the right elbow soreness. So that is terrible. The Brooklyn Nets, 130. The Boston Celtics, 108. And it wasn't even that close. The big three in game one, and again, in game one, I mean, we didn't get the big numbers, and we didn't get the big numbers, per se, from Durant. He had 26. Irving had 15. And Joe, and we'll get to Joe Harris in a second, and Harden, the beard, he had 20. So the big three scored 82 in game number one. And, of course, we talked a lot about their defense in the second half, holding the Celtics down to only 40 points in the second half in game one. But that was as much awful shooting from an awful team as it was with the Brooklyn defense. So in this game tonight, the big three total 61 points, although, again, they always are going to make a difference. This was their 10th game together. There's they arguably in the playoffs are going to be the best three players on any one team. And that's the way it is. And they hope to ride this to a parade once this season is over, this postseason is over. The real star for the Nets tonight was Joe Harris. Now, he had 25 on 9 for 14 shooting, but he had 22 in the first half. And the Nets led by 30 or more in with most of this game. I mean, 130 to 108 the final, not even telling you what how close or how one-sided this game was. And so they shot 52% overall. They hit on 17 threes, which is 17 of 38 for 44%. They hit all but one of 22 free throws. Blake Griffin, who did have 11 points and did start with a dunk or two, excited the crowd at the Barclays Center, make no mistake. And so the Nets win going away. So when you take the shooting percentage, Durant was 8 for 12. Irving was 6 for 12. The beard was 6 for 12. And then you have Harris, 9 for 14. Those foursome, 29 for 50. And that's 58% right there. So the Nets winning very big in game number two. And I would be shocked, or if not shocked, maybe surprised if the Celtics win a game. The NBA's comeback player of the year, of course, Julius Randle. And he was the clear-cut winner, beating out 18 others, including R.J. Barrett. Randle, with career highs in points, boards, and assists, and three-point percentage and free-throw percentage, was able to blow away the field. I mean, the second place was Jermoni Grant of Detroit. And when you added up first place, second place, and third place votes counted, what they all counted for, Randle beat out Grant, blowing away Grant by 353 points. Getting 98 first-place votes did Randle get, and one second-place vote. Shame on that person. And we'll try to get him on the air so he can hang up on me. What is it? Grant with two first-place votes, And Randall and Grant, the only two to get the first place of votes. 98 of them for Julius and two for Grant. J.R. Winning this award, he's the first Knickerbocker to win this award since the comeback player of the award was born in 1985. And R.J. Barrett, number 17 on the list of the 19, with two, count them, two third-place votes. And, of course, tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden, New York City. We want to see Julius Randle show his comeback play, leading the Knicks to a comeback win and even the series over the new Garden villain. And, yes, you know who I'm talking. He's going to hear it from the crowd tomorrow night. What do you think? He is public enemy number one among the Knickerbocker public, the anti-hero. And how dare he silence the Garden crowd, enjoying every moment of it. He now joins Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller as the three Garden villains of all time.
You will never guess who the villain is.
This is where, if you're Trae Young, it's time for you to kind of get going.
Here comes Young, lobbing inside to Capella. Up top, it's Young. Beautiful dime.
Alley up to Collins, throws it down. What a great pass from Young.
Like the villain out of a cheesy 80s high school movie.
Trae Young from way outside.
I thought you really did a good job of executing the game plan, not playing in traffic, passing in traffic.
11 points, 6 assists. And that was his third rebound of the night.
Young on the drive. Young, the floater is good.
And the foul. Rebound underneath by Collins. Here comes Young. All the way to the cup. Trae Young putting him on his back.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
I've never heard that being chanted in the building about a player. I had to, you know, really listen to see, you know, to think about what they were saying. But again, I thought our guys did a good job of blocking that out and, you know, focusing on the game.
Trae Young has scored the last 6 for Atlanta. Here he comes, turn of the corner, going glass. Here comes Young behind the back. This is Hunter. That's a 3. Young turns the corner, hits the floater, and he's got a chance at a 3-point play.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Here is Young. Finds his spot. Young on the floater, puts it in. Trae Young with a miraculous shot.
Truly blessed to be able to be in this position, but I know the work's not done yet.
And, of course, he will hear it from the crowd, and what the New York Knickerbockers have to do is silence him and the Atlanta Hawks, Steve, in the series at one game apiece.